Okay. Well, a Christian I knew was working in a strongly Roman Catholic country, and they used to have these huge religious parades through the streets with all these statues and icons, and thousands of people would throng the streets and run forward and touch the icons, touch the statues, in hope of some spiritual blessing. And my friend, who was a Christian, was in the doorway talking to a guy, and he's explaining to a guy that, you know, running forward and touching a bit of marble or a bit of china or something can't do you any good. And he explained the gospel. He was there talking to him for about a quarter of an hour, and the guy said, "Oh yeah, I understand. Yeah, I see that now." So my friend says, "So there's no point in running forward and touching, you know, in fact, God will be angry with you." And the guy says, "Oh yeah, I understand that." And then 5 minutes later, the guy runs forward and touches the toes of some icon, runs back and just says to my friend, "I know, but just in case." There was a lady living not far from here. She used to be glued to some of the religious stuff on the cable channels. And in particular, there was one very effective speaker who used to come on that she thought was wonderful. And he would often say, "Run forward now, touch the screen, and you'll receive the Spirit of God." And I remember talking to this lady, and eventually she agreed that going forward and touching the screen, actually, this guy can't dispense the Holy Spirit through the TV screen to me. And then she paused, and I said, "But you still do it, don't you?" "Well, yeah, just in case." In other words, in both those instances, the people are not talking sense at all. They're not talking sense. I want you to talk sense, and I want you to talk sense because in the passage, the Apostle Paul talks sense. He's in Athens. They have statues to every god and goddess you could possibly imagine, and just in case they left one out, they got an unknown one, a statue to an unknown god, just in case they want to cover all the bases. And Paul sees this, and he is churned up at the idolatry. How dare they treat the true and living God like this? All this superstitious stuff. So he looks for an opportunity to talk sense to them. The God who's really there made everything, he said, everything. And he doesn't need anything. In fact, he has determined the times. What does it say up there? It's interesting the way they put it up there. From one man he made all nations, they should inhabit the whole earth, and he marked out their appointed times in history. See, he's talking in Athens. There'd been this massive Greek empire, but it had gone. It was now the Roman Empire, soon that would be gone. The Ottoman Empire soon would be gone. Rule Britannia, 150 years ago, Britain had this massive empire. Rule Britannia, Britannia rules the waves, Britain never, ever, ever. Well, it's gone. The British Empire's gone. And he's saying that God has appointed these times. Next, he talks sense into their situation. This was Athens. They had these great history of philosophers. Put your hand up if you've heard of them. A little test, okay? Just to see how well known these are. Pythagoras. You know it, girls. You know they've got his theorem, haven't you? Right. Socrates. Socrates. Yeah, Socrates. Plato. Aristotle. See, we've heard of these. They lived 2,500 years ago. We've heard of them. And all those, and others as well, were searching for what they called the truth in three big areas. Life, how did it begin? What's it about? Movement, why does the tide come in and go out? Why do we move, we age, and so on? Why does the moon move in the sky? So they were interested in movement, they were interested in life, and they were interested in the essence of being. How am I a being? Am I a becoming? It was a big debate with two of them for years and so on. They had these big issues, life and motion and being, and Paul, brilliantly in one sentence, says, "In him we live and move and have our being." In one devastating sentence, he tells them that the true and living God has got the answers to all that. The three things that they've been looking for hundreds and hundreds of years, and people are still arguing about. See, in Genesis chapter 1, we, you, me, them, whoever them are, we're made in the image of God. And I always remember it like this, films, that's what I think of image, films, F-I-L-M-S. We're made for fellowship, friendship, family, we're made for that. We're inventive, iPhones, MP3 players, the wheel, TVs, cars, rockets, we're inventive. L, we are logical because we're in the image of God. And this is the point that particularly today that Paul uses logic. He talks sense to them. We are moral people. That's the M. And we are spiritual people. We have an inbuilt knowledge that there is something somewhere, a God. That's what we're all like. Mr. Trump is like that. Mrs. May is like that. Mr. Corbyn's like that. Lady Gaga is like that. We are like that. We're in the image of God. I am in the image of King Jesus, not King Kong. And those are the only two options. Am I really fearfully and wonderfully made? Or am I just a random collision of atoms? Was I uniquely created by God? See, how you answer that question changes everything about how you look at the world, how you look at yourself, how you look at other people. And I want you this year, 2019, I want you to talk sense, and I want you to talk sense to the people who are clueless around us. Some of them are clever, but they're clueless. Some are not so sharp, but they're clueless. And I want you to know the truth, and then I want you to have the guts to pray to God to give you opportunities to talk sense to people. There's so much drivel, so much nonsense spoken. People are lost. See, if all I am is a chance cosmic collision, then life is cheap, isn't it? And that's what's happening. Rise of suicide bombers and snipers and the passionate lobby for euthanasia. I read in the paper last week, a non-Christian doctor warning we're on a very slippery slope here. He's warning. I know he's not a Christian, but he sees where we're headed here. Life is cheap. The thousands and thousands of aborted kids every week in UK. Just in Britain. The increase in how many knife murders there have been in London this year. Already, we've only just started the year. Already we've had knife murders. See, it matters whose image am I in? King Christ or King Kong? It matters because it changes everything, how you look at every single thing. I was reading something recently and it jarred me so much. I thought, this is such nonsense. This is so illogical. And it came from the pen of one of the most prominent anti-Christian authors, Professor Dawkins. He's a clever guy. He's a clever guy. He's an intellectual. He's an academic. He insists that you and me are robotic machines, no more than that. We are no more than our genes, okay? The gene is something in the chromosome, I think, which is in the nucleus of every cell. That's all you are, okay? Having insisted that's all you are, and therefore you're in a selfish struggle for survival, he then realizes that caring is a good thing. I listened this morning as I was driving to people phoning in, oh, please play a request for so-and-so. They're the most unselfish person I know. Please play a request for so-and-so because they're always thinking of others. I thought, we all recognize, including Mr. Dawkins, we all recognize that being unselfish is good for society. He recognizes that. But his problem is it doesn't fit his theory. His theory has got no place for altruism, for being nice to other people. So this is what he comes up with. We, even though all you are is atoms, all you are is your genes, but we have the capacity to rebel against our genes and be moral people. I mean, can you see how ridiculous that is? I hope you can. That's not talking sense at all. See, earlier in Acts 17, in this chapter, Paul is dealing with two groups of philosophers. There's only two, I think, mentioned in the Bible, the Stoics and the Epicureans, okay? They're both still around. They're probably in this room. They're definitely out there. The Stoics said there's no God, there's no truth. Life is a boil on top of a blister on top of a tumor. Life is tough, but never mind, you grin and get on with it. Do you know people like that? Do you? My mother was like that. She got on with it. Now, terrible things happened. She just was tough as teak. Well, there we are. That's the way it is. I'll get on with it. They're still around, Stoics. The Epicureans said they were pleasure seekers. What we need is, let's eat out more. How many people are eating out today, isn't it? Drink nice wine. Eat nice food. Enjoy visiting places like Athens. The aim all the time is for the buzz, for the thrill, whatever I really enjoy. So they both groups are still around. But you notice, Paul speaks to them. See, we're terrified so often, the church, the Christians are terrified to talk to the world. Oh, well, you know, they're not interested, and they got all these difficult questions for us. But Paul just says, I'm going to talk sense to these people because they're clueless. He addresses them where they are. In him we live and move and have our being. See, if only we could sit Mr. Dawkins down. We might have to tie him down, I suppose. And say to him, if all you are is your genes, there's nothing in you to rebel, is there? See, this is just common sense. You have no conscience, you have no soul. All you are is physical, the atoms in your genes. If that's all you are, there's nothing in you that has the capacity to rebel. Do you see how ridiculous it is? And yet they give him airtime, and people like him on the radio and the TV, and people are terrified. Christians are terrified to witness somebody who's a scientist in case they give them difficult questions or whatever. Do you see how ridiculous that argument is from Mr. Dawkins? Don't you? Do you see how ridiculous it is? See, there's no logic there, is there? You remember the story of the guy who was telling me that he was a PhD guy working in research with another PhD guy, and he was a Christian and his mate wasn't. And his mate said to him one day, do you know, I just think of it like this. Every carbon atom longs to be part of a living being. And as soon as the words left his lips, they both looked at each other because they both realized what a stupid thing, what an impossibly ridiculous thing to say. Can you talk sense? Can you talk sense because you know the true and living God? Can you talk sense because you've trusted in his one and only Son, Jesus, to be your Savior? Now, last week I read two facts. You probably read them or heard them as well. One was about a lump of rock 4 billion miles away, roughly the city, the size, I suppose, of the county of Swansea, something like that, a small bit of rock. It's so far away, the radio signals took 6 hours. Can you imagine it? You know, when Hugh Edwards comes on and says, this is 10 o'clock news, you know, the signal, the radio signal from London, is down, and you are sitting in your lounge in Sketty or whatever it is. When he says it's 6 o'clock, actually, he's pretty right. It is 6 o'clock from where you are. It's just about a little bit later, but not much in it. But if Hugh Edwards stood on this rock and said, it's 6 o'clock, 6 hours later, midnight, we hear him say six o'clock. We say, you fibber, it's not. 6 hours, can you imagine how far away it is? And the following day, having read that in the newspaper, I read in Job that God created the bear, the Orion, the Pleiades, and I said, yeah, they're photographing this rock. It's going to take them 18 months to send all the photos back. God's been looking at that rock ever since he's been there. The second fact was the comedian Billy Connolly. He's got Parkinson's. He's struggling. And he actually says this, this is what I read. I know my life is slipping away, but I'm not afraid. It's going to be an adventure. An adventure, I can't think of a more inappropriate word. It'll be a permanent nightmare. That's not an adventure. Have you ever had a nightmare? Ever had a nightmare? And when you woke up, You were just so relieved that it was over. I pray that Billy Connolly would be very afraid very soon, and that he'd realize there is a God. There is a God who is the judge of every single one of us, but who in mercy sent his one and only Son, that all our sins can be forgiven. That's talking sense. Now, can you talk sense? Then look for people to talk sense to, because they're perishing. They're perishing. Amen. Listen. Heavenly Father, I do thank you, it is a wondrous story. I was lost, but Jesus found me. Thank you, Lord. I do pray for every single one of us, Lord, that we would know the truth, we would know what makes sense, and that we would talk sense to people we meet. Hear our prayers and forgive us all our past failures, all our past sins. Amen.